Good evening. Live from the Moorhead Conference Center, you're listening to the 2018 Rallin County Primary Election Candidate Forum on Moorhead State Public Radio on WIVY and WKCA. Our broadcast includes candidates for Rallin County Judge Executive, Magistrate District 4, County Court Clerk, and Circuit Clerk. Thanks to our sponsors, Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, the Moorhead Rallin County Chamber of Commerce, Moorhead Rallin County Tourism, the Moorhead Woman's Club, and media partners the Moorhead News, the Trailblazer, Moorhead State Public Radio, and WIVY and WKCA radio stations. Now, here's our moderator for the evening, Moorhead State Public News Radio Director, Chuck Meraz.
Good evening and welcome to the Moorhead Conference Center for tonight's 2018 Rallin County Primary Election Candidate Forum. I'm Chuck Meraz, News Director at WMKY Moorhead State Public Radio, and I'll be your moderator for this evening's event. Tonight we'll be featuring the Democrats who will be on the May ballot for the offices of Judge Executive, Magistrate District 4, County Clerk, and Circuit Clerk. We have the hope of earning the right to face a Republican opponent in the November general election. Just to note, the reason why there are no GOP candidates here is because all of them are running opposed in their primaries. Tonight's forum is being brought to you by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY 90.3 FM, Gateway Radio, WIVY 96.3 FM, the Moorhead News, Moorhead State University's Trailblazer, the Moorhead Tourism Commission, and the Moorhead Rallin County Chamber of Commerce. The candidates will be answering questions from a panel of local reporters. And let's introduce them. Leanne Akers, Assistant News Director at WMKY, along with Stephanie Ackerman from the Moorhead News and Jacob Lindberg of MSU's Trailblazer. Quickly, the format for the forum and the rules of engagement, so to speak. We will begin with the candidates for Judge Executive. Each of them will have 90 seconds to make an opening statement. We will then have two rounds of questions. Each of our panelists will ask one question per round, and all of the candidates will answer that same question. They will be given 90 seconds for each of their responses, and our timer, the always vivacious Ash Gillum, will keep track of that time, and there will be no time allotted for rebuttals. We will then move to our candidates for Magistrate District 4, County Clerk, and Circuit Clerk. Each of them will be given 90 seconds for an opening statement, and our panelists will ask them one question apiece, and they'll get 90 seconds for each of their responses. There will be a two-minute break between each round of candidates to allow one set of them to leave the stage and the next to come up and get settled. As the rules for those of you who are here in the live audience, we realize that many of you have candidates that you fervently support, but we ask that you be respectful of all the candidates who are willing to enter public service and that you hold your cheers and applause until each round of the forum has been completed. No catcalls or jeering will be tolerated at any time, and you could be asked to leave the conference center should you break that rule. And please, right now, if you would, if you've not done so already, silence your cell phones. And without further ado, we'll now start with the candidates for Judge Executive in order as their names appear on the ballot. They're Lincoln Caudill, Joe Gagliano, and Harry Clark. The remaining candidate, Benjamin Heckman, has chosen not to join us tonight. And we'll start with Leanne Akers, and the first question goes to Lincoln Caudill.
Many citizens are concerned about the Kinder Morgan pipeline. Do you believe it poses a threat?
I'm sorry. I've made a mistake on this. Actually, you guys get opening round statements. Well, let's start again. Sorry, Leanne. All right. We'll start with Lincoln and his opening statement. You have 90 seconds.
Good evening, members of the audience and those tuning in. My name is Lincoln Caudill, and I want to start by thanking Downtown Moorhead, Tourism, Chamber of Commerce, and the Women's Club for putting on this great event. It's great for public discourse. I'd also like to thank God for blessing me with such a passionate desire to help my community and the people who live here. I'm the current Deputy Judge Executive, and my direct hands-on experience in this office, coupled with a master's degree from Moorhead State University in Public Administration, qualifies me well to make careful decisions for the people of Rallin County. If elected to serve as your next Judge Executive, I will continue to fight for proper treatment of our public workers, including teachers and law enforcement. I will also work to see that the funding for our first responders gets more attention. They help keep our property values up and our insurance rates low. I will be the voice for the senior citizens who are so often forgotten about, and I will make sure that their children get the recreation they've been promised. I will work to guarantee the financial support is continued for Casey's Law to try to put the brakes on this horrible opioid epidemic. I will work hard so that our economic development efforts are well-funded to ensure healthy job growth. Ultimately, I will stand up for working families and their children here in Round County because that's who I am and that's who I care about. Thank you.
Mr. Gagliano.
To attend MSU on a football scholarship. I got a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in communications. I've been in the construction industry for 30 years, and I've supervised numerous people and have also overseen million-dollar projects. Primary reason I'm running for judge executive office is because I think we can help make Round County become one of the most desirable counties in this region. In order to accomplish that, there are three things that need to happen: live, work, and play. Live, we need to strive to maintain a safe, progressive, and friendly community for our citizens. Work, doing what it takes to attract businesses here, which also brings in new jobs and more revenue. And play. I think we need to formulate a plan to create a countywide recreational center for all ages so that we can prosper. It will be a challenge, and I'm ready for it. Thank you.
Your turn, Mr. Clark.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you all for coming out today. I'm Harry Clark, candidate for County Judge Executive. And I had a big, long, prepared speech to make to you, and I realized I only had 90 seconds to do it in. And I looked across the audience, and I realized that most of you folks out there that I've worked with, served with, and been a part of this community with, so I didn't really see a whole lot of point in me trying to convince you of my qualifications, my integrity, or my respect for this community. So I just decided that the folks that don't know me, I'd like to issue you a challenge tonight. I'd like for you to get to know these folks that do know me. If you want the straight and doesn't want the answers coming from a quote politician, may not be so true, then ask the folks that actually know me and serve with me on these boards in this community. And you'll find that I have a track record of always working for the community, for the citizens, for the veterans, and for everyone in Round County. Thank you.
Now we'll move to our questions, and we'll start with Leanne Akers. And first question, the first opportunity to answer the question will go to Mr. Gagliano.
Many citizens are concerned about the Kinder Morgan pipeline. Do you believe it poses a threat or an opportunity for Rowan County? And please explain what you will do, if elected, to stop or encourage its construction.
Well, I don't believe using a pipeline that is that old and to push a volatile fuel through that is safe for our community. I mean, the imminent danger of something like that exploding, it has unforeseen repercussions of what it can do to the surrounding areas. And I know it's a money thing, and I don't believe that our county really wants that to come through here. I know it's in a process right now, so I believe that if we can take the steps necessary to stop it, I believe that's what our county's residents want.
We'll move to Harry Clark.
Okay, I'm certainly opposed to repurposing the pipeline to reverse the flow. It is very dangerous. It brings probably just a minimal number of jobs to Round County, and those would be temporary. And to be honest with you, if perhaps that gets passed and goes through, which, you know, sometimes even no matter what the county does or the state does, sometimes at the federal level it'll happen. I think what we need to do is try to figure out some ways to make it so restrictive that maybe not make it so attractive to them to do this. Perhaps maybe we should make some real safety constringent, some rules such as what they have to inspect before they reverse this flow. But I don't know if I will do whatever I can as judge executive to stop it. But if we don't, we need to be thinking ahead of this, and we need to be ready to maybe either slow it down or make it so strict that maybe it won't be so unsafe.
Mr. Caudill?
Yeah, I'd like to echo the ideas that these guys had. In fact, that's already being done with our subdivision ordinances here in Round County. We have strengthened those in order to create a piece of it that will protect us from the pipelines coming in the future. It follows all the guidelines of the NGLs that are volatile. The reversing of the flow and that sort of thing is captured within our subregs, and we'll be protected through that. The main thing right now keeping it from happening is the profitability from those oil companies that control the product that's pushed through that line. So as long as that is still a thing, we won't have to worry about it. But when it does happen, we've worked with other counties. Our county attorney's office and our current administration has used Jessamine County's model, and we seem to have a pretty strong thing to fight that with already, and we'll look forward to doing that more in the future.
And we'll move now to our second questioner. Our next panelist is Stephanie Ackerman from the Moorhead News, and the first question this time will go to Harry Clark.
Gentlemen, does this office need a deputy judge executive? Why or why not?
Well, you're essentially going to elect me to be the judge executive. And I really don't think that the taxpayer should be burdened with paying someone else to do my job for me. Now, I've been in management and corporate level for a number of years, and this is nothing new to me. I've handled large budgets, lots of folks, and I never needed a deputy at that time. So if you look at other counties, there's other counties out with more industry, more population that does not use a deputy judge executive. But you have to remember, to be a deputy or to be an effective judge executive, you actually have to be in the office and you actually have to do your job. And that's what I intend to do. In the office, doing the job. And if a lens cap comes off of a camera somewhere, it does not necessarily mean I need to be in front of it. Thank you.
And now we move to Mr. Caudill.
Coming from a current deputy judge, I see the definite need for one. Our office is tasked with not only serving the citizens around county rurally, but also the citizens of the city itself. It's a great responsibility. It's greater than just being in that office 40 hours a week. I think for the pay that the Round County Judge Executive gets, it's not even close to a 40-hour week job for him. And then for me currently, it's probably more closer to 50. It's ridiculous the amount of stuff that we go to. You wouldn't believe the boards we serve on. Obviously, the fiscal court is our main responsibility. We serve on the Economic Development Council, Gateway, Ad, Red Cross, Kentucky Judge Executives Association, KCO, DLG. I could go on all night with the things, the meetings we have to go to. It's way, way larger than the office that's over there in the courthouse right now. It's a 40-hour week job for nobody over there. So it's very important. The money that's there right now for it is well used, I believe. I think I'm doing a good job for you guys. The person I use, who I don't know yet, will be sure to be a good steward of your taxpayer dollars.
And your turn, Mr. Gagliano.
Well, I'm a firm believer in the deputy judge executive, especially of a county this large, and we have the city of Moorhead to work with. We also have the Lakeview Heights community, the city of Lakeview Heights. So, you know, I'm all about team, and if you build a good team together, you get good results. If everybody can get and have the same focus of what a team's all about, we can come to the same final outcome. And not only that, is that you just, I'm not always right. Just ask my wife. So, you know, you always have that somebody that's going to have your, you know, the checks and balances there. So, you know, we say, hey, you know, Joe, might want to rethink that. So, and that's what's good to have somebody there by your side for that. Because, you know, you might be headed down the wrong direction and get ready to have a disaster. And then, you know, somebody in your team speaks up, says, hey, let's try this first. And, you know, that's what I'm about. I've always been a team player, and I think team is very important. And if you put that together, then you'll have good results.
Our next question will come to us from Jacob Lindberg from MSU's Trailblazer. And we'll start with Lincoln Caudill.
Given the changes to education funding across the state, how involved should the county be in matters involving Morehead State University's budget and recruitment?
The university, which I'm super proud of, I hold 3 degrees from there. And in my opinion, a degree from Morehead State is a ticket, golden ticket to life. Super proud of my success from there. I think the judge's office, anybody that lives in Rowan County, should be a proponent of pushing the students at Morehead State to do better and for recruiting future students to come here. It's a great economic driver for us. I don't think the city or the county would be what they were without the university's presence. And I would hate to see even a decline in that. As the judge executive, I would be like I was as the deputy judge executive on the steps of the Capitol, fighting for teachers and fighting for education and fighting for the students that come here and spend their hard-earned dollars.
Mr. Gagliano?
Can you repeat the question for me, please?
Given the changes to education funding across the state, how involved should the county be in matters involving Morehead State University's budget and recruitment?
Well, of course, the county and the city and all the entities in this county need to be supportive and behind the university because, like Lincoln said, they bring a large, large amounts of dollars to this community through, you know, sales and food sales and everything. I mean, there's 10,000 students on campus, and we have to be there and support them. And if we can help in any way, and you know, the recruiting part of it, you know, if we can make this place more desirable, I mean, that should help recruit itself. You know, we've got a beautiful area in the mountains here. I fell in love with it when I came here from Chicago. I mean, it's just some place that until you can get somebody here and recruit them here to see what we have, that is the biggest thing, is to get them here.
Mr. Clark.
Well, certainly we should support everything we can with the MSU, but I'd like to also like to mention that there's also Maysville Community and Tech College. It's very important to us as well. In the county, as the county judge executive, you need to be very concerned about trying your best to do everything you can to support education. And a good way to support the education in both of those in our public schools is to try to get some good paying jobs in here so the folks can actually make a good living and help pay the tuition for those kids. Those kids don't necessarily all come from Saudi Arabia. They come from Menifee County, Morgan County, Round County, and they come from our surrounding counties. So we need to work hard to bring good paying jobs in here to help those parents pay those tuition fees. But yes, we need to do everything possible that we can to help the universities and Maysville Community and Tech College. And also a quick little rebuttal. No, I won't go there. Thank you.
All right. We'll start our second round of questioning, and Leanne Akers from Morehead State Public Radio will start with Joe Gagliano.
How do you plan on dealing with the possibility of budget shortfalls in the future, and what services would you seek to cut if we were facing budget shortfall?
Well, I know the state and the state budgets right now with all the cuts is very difficult. Cuts, nobody likes to see cuts. You know, you can trim the fat. There might be certain programs that you might be able to pull some from here and put it here so we can keep people employed, because you don't want to put anybody unemployed. That's, we need to try at our very best to bring all this to happen. And, you know, to evaluate all the budget and to see exactly where you can make cuts. So that's, I think that's the biggest proponent right there.
Mr. Clark.
I'm sorry, would you repeat the question, please?
How do you plan on dealing with the possibility of budget shortfalls, and what services will you seek to cut first if those shortfalls happen?
Well, I don't intend to cut any services because that's what they are. If you call for an ambulance or a fire truck, I don't really think you want to hear me say, well, we cut the budget last week and I can't send one out to you. So I don't intend to cut the services. That'd be the last thing that we would cut. But anytime, you know, the federal funds have dried up, the state funds have dried up, And we're on our own out here in the county, essentially. So we're going to have to figure out how to make things happen without Big Brother, Big Sister helping us out. And cutting, you never cut your way to prosperity. You just can't do that. So what you have to do is manage what you have a little better, a little tighter. And again, the more jobs you bring in, the more revenue you bring in, and the less chance you have to cut any services or do anything of that nature. So I will work hard every day to make sure that we have a good workforce here, occupational tax coming in, and all the other revenues that we will not have to cut services. Thank you.
And Mr. Caudill.
Folks, I'll tell you, we're not going to have to cut services. Brown County is on an upward spiral. We're the only county east of Lexington projected growth over the next 20 years. We will not see this as a problem. If it does, cuts will not be made. Obviously, there's plenty of things that can be done to avoid that. Services can be changed, responsibility shared by different offices in order to keep from doing that. We've got a great team here with economic development and everybody else that pulls in jobs here with Chamber of Commerce and so on, that we will not have to worry about that. I want to be the leader that's going to see growth in this county, and I want to be responsible for helping foster that growth. We have a strong aerospace industry here in Kentucky. It's the number one leading exporter in the state. And right here in Morehead, we have the Space Science Center through Morehead State and also the MCTC Center for Advanced Manufacturing. Those two things right there will be catalyst, and they will be key in us being the foremost expert in aerospace technology in Eastern Kentucky. Moving forward, we will not have to worry about your problem.
Our next question comes to us from Stephanie Ackerman from the Morehead News, and we'll open up with Harry Clark.
What is the most pressing issue facing the county, and how would you work to solve it?
I think the most pressing issue in the county is probably infrastructure. And I say that because, you know, we want to bring these jobs in. All three of us up here want to bring good jobs in. But the problem with bringing those jobs in or trying to attract those jobs in is sometimes you're hampered by maybe the infrastructure. I mean, we honestly need to have a comprehensive strategic plan to where we're going to be 10 to 15 years from now. And we need to develop that plan that's actually usable, not something that we dust off for block grant money that's just kind of there. But we really need to put some effort into this strategic plan, and we need to plan our growth, and that's what we need to be doing. And a perfect example of that is out at the MMRC Center right now. They're almost at capacity with the sewer pipe discharge part. Okay, so there's no one responsible for that in this room. But if they'd had a plan 20 years ago, we would be looking at that today, trying to figure out, well, we're going to have to change this out. And there is certain things that won't come in here because they require more sewer capacity. And that's just an example. But we definitely need to be thinking forward on this and not knee-jerk reaction when we get people to come in here that's going to give us those good paying jobs. We need to be thinking ahead of that and working ahead of that. Thank you.
We move now to Lincoln Caudill.
The biggest problem we face here in Round County is the fight against education and the fight for the public pensions that we all enjoy and deserve and are rightfully given through the contract from the state. That's been fought on, and we've been taken from us, and we need to work towards getting that back. And we're going to have, if we experience cuts and a no phase in on our pension problem, we'll have to see cuts done, and I don't think we don't need to do that. That's the biggest problem we face here now is pensions and education.
And Mr. Gagliano.
Well, I agree with both of my candidates here on those two issues, but I think one issue that is a major concern is the opioid addiction problem we have here. I know our law enforcement, they do a great job getting the stuff off the streets and making great progress in that. But, you know, we have untapped resources. The USDA, United States Department of Agriculture, for instance, right now is allowing and partnering they're allowing grants to rural communities and low-income loans. So for education, mental not mental abuse, but to work on mental problems that they're having that cause them to have drug addiction, and halfway houses. So, you know, if there's halfway houses for people, or transition houses also, transition houses for people that come out of these centers that have no place to go, I mean, it's, some of these people are afraid to leave. And I know that for a fact, because we've had one in our family that had that same situation. They didn't want to leave. They felt so comfortable there. But they got to transition back into the society. They have to be retrained. So with these resources from the USDA, I believe that we can have a better outcome.
Our final question for our judge executive candidates comes to us from Morehead State Trailblazers, Jacob Lindberg, and we'll open things up this time with Lincoln Caudill.
In the last several years, Rowan County has been relatively better off economically when compared to surrounding counties and the rest of eastern Kentucky. How might that trend continue under your leadership?
We could continue that trend by building a strong tax base here, including getting jobs here and keeping those jobs here through adding economic vitality and livability in the community. Having good arts and culture is very important to keeping, especially young people here that come here for school and enjoy a vibrant community that we give them. I would like to see that grown more. I'd like to see more arts and culture be given to the like the students of Morehead State University and the postgrads who continue to live here. I think they made a great choice by staying here, and I would like to keep them in the community. And I think arts and culture and livability in general is a good way to achieve that goal.
Joe Gagliano.
In the last several years, Rowan County has been relatively better off when compared to a lot of the surrounding counties, the rest of eastern Kentucky. How might that trend continue under your leadership?
Well, Rowan County has something different than all the surrounding counties. We have a university and a wonderful hospital system here that attracts professors from all over the United States and the world. So we have a very culturally diverse place here set in these foothills. And the biggest thing, I believe, is that we need to create an atmosphere and a livability to keep these people here, these doctors that come here to practice in a rural community, to wipe out their student loans, get a student loan forgiveness. Let's try to keep them here so they don't move on to the next community where they get a job. And I think that's something we need to really work on and focus on, is keeping the residents here and having them, giving them a reason to stay here.
And Mr. Clark.
Well, I think we absolutely have to make this place more livable. I mean, it's a great place to live now. I mean, I spent half of my adult life getting away from here, the other half getting back. So, but we need to work hard. You know, the judge exec's job is to make this county the most livable county in any place in Kentucky. So people want to come here and stay here. That's the key. Get them here, and they want to stay here. And the way you do that is you make this county the very best county that you can make it. Now, there's different ways of doing that, of course, but there's about eight. There's about eight different agencies that are working directly or indirectly to bring economic development into this area. So the judge executive job, again, is simply to make this place the most livable, desirable place in this state, and our troubles will be over.
Right now, let's go ahead and thank our Democratic candidates for Rowan County Judge Executive for appearing tonight, Lincoln Caudill, Joe Gagliano, and Harry Clark.
Live coverage on WIVY and WKCA, also on Morehead State Public Radio from the Morehead Conference Center, live coverage of the 2018 Rowan County Primary Election Candidate Forum. As Chuck mentioned just a few moments ago, all of our candidates happen to be of the Democrat Party because there are no contested Republican races on the local level here in this May election coming up May 22nd. To my immediate right is my friend and bluegrass aficionado,
Downtown Morehead Director. Is that the right word, Tony?
That's
Downtown
it.
Morehead Director, Tony Pence. Let me figure out which one of these microphones is you.
There you go.
A lot of work has gone into putting this evening together, and you've been right at the center of it.
Yeah, right at the middle of it. You know, we got a lot of help. You know, the folks at MSPR and you guys at Gateway Radio and the newspapers all pitching in. Tourism Division, Tourism Commission, you know, making the space available to us, and you know, makes this a great community event.
It does, something that everybody needs to participate in. With the election on the 22nd of May, there's not a whole lot of time left to make your choices and then get your way out to the polls.
That's exactly right. You know, there's not really any higher calling in our society than to hold public office and stand for public office. So we're very proud of all these people that have, you know, put their name in the hat to run. We're very lucky. We've got some great candidates.
We just heard from our Round County Judge Executive candidates, three of the four, Lincoln Cottle, Joe Gagliano, and Harry Clark. We're also going to hear from Magistrate District 4 candidates, County Clerk candidates, and Circuit Clerk candidates as the evening goes along. You're listening live to Morehead State Public Radio and also their web stream to WIVY and to WKCA Radio and our web streams. We have partnered with this several times with the political forums here from the Morehead Conference Center and are glad to have you tuned in listening this evening. We couldn't do this without Downtown Morehead Incorporated, the Morehead Round County Tourism Commission, Morehead Round County Chamber of Commerce, Morehead Woman's Club, media partners, the Morehead News, the Trailblazer, MSPR, and those of us at WIVY and WKCA. We are ready to rejoin Chuck Meraz for the second part of our event here tonight.
And we welcome you back to tonight's 2018 Candidate Forum. And now we move to our Democratic candidates for Magistrate District 4. And the list includes Dale Davis, Kelly Ford, and Rob Hamm. And each of them will now have an opening statement of 90 seconds, and we'll open with Mr. Davis.
Hello, everyone. First of all, I would like to thank our Heavenly Father, our men and women in the armed forces, and our people in uniform, our first responders, the police, fire, and ambulance, and the sponsors of all this forum here to make this day possible. I'm Dale Davis, and I'm a candidate for Magistrate District 4, which is comprised of Easton, Pine Grove, Christie, and Robin precincts. I'm running for Magistrate to help and keep Round County a great place in which to live and raise our families and prosper. I want the opportunity to be your Magistrate. I want to be your voice. I want to be your leader. I want to work for you. I want to work for all of you, not just one. It's time we put the voice back in government, and I want to be that voice. Your needs will be heard. I will listen to your problems and ideas. I will stand by you and help you through the hard times and the good times. Let's put the service back in public service. Make and keep District 4 in Round County a great place to live. Thank you.
And we'll now hear from Kelly Ford.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad to be a great part of this campaign run. Very excited. A lot of people don't know me, and I don't know you, but I'm hoping to get there to get to know you, especially in the District 4 area. I didn't know Morehead from this God creation earth when I came out of high school in a little old town, Horsecape, Kentucky. Morehead State football brought me this community, and 22 later, I'm still here and working for the city of Morehead the last 15 years, and I am the head football coach here at Round County. I'm married to Raven Ford, which is a county agent, and she works for University of Kentucky. I got two beautiful daughters, Haven and Kelby Ford, and I'm glad to be part of this community. I love this community. It's my home away from home. When you come from a small town and you come to this town, you still get that small town feel, but you got the good city feel around you. So I want to continue to work for District 4 and make this county proud in the things that we do. Thank you.
And Mr. Rob Hamm.
As a candidate for Round County District 4 Magistrate, I, Rob Hamm, would like to respectfully ask for your support and vote on May 22nd. For you, I know me, I'm the son of Pete Hamm and Mary Hamm of Clearfield. I'm the husband of Linda Hamm, Parker Hamm. We have one daughter, Kristen, who will be a senior this fall at Morehead State University. I do believe the magistrate's job is of great importance to our local government, but is often overlooked. The magistrate's job is not all about roads. It's about helping manage the physical health of our county and how we use the limited tax dollars available to provide safety infrastructure to the people of this county. I believe that I possess the educational experience and leadership skills needed to represent you on the Round County Fiscal Court. I intend to be the people's voice of District 4 and of all Round County on that court. I am honest, hardworking. I'm a U.S. Army Afghan combat veteran, a proven leader. I am a graduate of Morehead State University. I've graduated the Army Basic and Advanced Course Engineer School. I have 36 years experience in construction and financial. I have family and community roots in Robert, Christie, Alderman, and the Cranston precincts. I will prioritize road work, work cooperative, ethically to serve your district. I served you once in Afghanistan, and I want to serve you again here home in my home in District 4 in Round County. Thank you.
And we'll move now to our questions from our panelists. Stephanie Ackerman from the Morehead News will lead us off, and we'll start with Mr. Ford.
What should be done to attract employees of our two current major employers, Morehead State and St. Clair, to not only work in Morehead and Round County, but to live in the city and the county?
Well, I mean, those two entities are really our two biggest employers in this county, and we got to continue to support them in every way we can throughout the county. We got to, offer them jobs that, I know a lot of people don't want to talk about our tax base, but we have to visit that tax base, but we have to educate the public on the tax base that we do to help keep those jobs here.
Mr. Hamm.
Of course, right now, our biggest problem of attracting people here to the Morehead State University for jobs and the university, the hospital, is having enough housing for them. Land is very short. We are in the process of a lot of subdivisions being built in the area. We do have some new subdivision laws, and I know Mr. Williams, I believe I see he has got several new subdivisions planned here in the county. But without good housing, and we already have the good high school and grade school system here, but I believe our biggest loss of not getting more people to live here is our housing.
Mr. Davis, your turn.
Well, I think we all fully support Morehead State University in St. Clair. They're probably our biggest employers here in this county. We can work with them any way it takes to keep the people going. Their budget has been cut. I'm sure our budget's going to be cut. I don't know what we're going to have till we get in there to work with, but I'm willing to work with them in any way we can and provide anything that we can do for them.
Our next question comes to us from Jacob Lindberg of the Trailblazer, and we'll start with Rob Hamm.
What is your perspective regarding countywide zoning, and what zoning strategies would you employ to improve the quality of life in Round County?
I believe zoning is probably a bad word around here. I think I do belong to the Round County Planning Commission, far as in the city of Morehead and Lakeview Heights. I think it gets a bad name, zoning. You'll get run out of here pretty quick if you think that you're going to come build a house beside someone's cow farm and complain about the smell of cows. But anyway, I do believe we're planning. We need to plan. Kentucky has some of the best planning laws that are in the state right now. But the biggest thing, that is what can help us with the pipeline, the planning laws. Planning just means if you do something other than what it's already being used for, then we may have a, keep the dirt off the road or whatever. We can make it other things. But as far as zoning, I would not be for zoning. I would be for more planning, long-term planning.
Mr. Davis?
I kind of agree with Mr. Hamm there, you know, with planning. I really don't know that much about the zoning. I don't think any of us know that much about the zoning. We need to be educated about it. We need to learn more about the zoning and the planning. I think it'd be up to the people. If it comes down to where we need to have zoning, then the people ought to make a decision. Put it on a ballot. Let them vote it. If it goes, then we go with it. If it don't, we don't. Don't be up there just trying to cram something down somebody's throat.
And Mr. Ford.
First of all, you got to weigh out the pros and the cons. Some people want zoning, some people don't want zoning. You got to look at it in all angles and what your property value and what it brings to yourself. So what both of these guys said, I mean, it could be totally right. But, you know, like you said, you gotta read into it and basically get educated on it. And, you know, you can put it on the ballot and let it vote for it, but you don't have to. But you really got to educate yourself. And like I said, everybody's different. Everybody's going to have their opinion. It'll basically boil down to a, you know, a good old vote if you needed something zoned.
Our next question comes to us from Leanne Akers from WMKY Radio, and Dale Davis will get the first opportunity to answer this one.
Since 2006, the community has talked about the need for new recreation in Rowan County. What's your vision to address this need?
Well, I think that we do need more recreation. Give our kids something to do instead of being out doing something they shouldn't be doing. Our senior citizens need places to go to. I'm kind of getting that away myself. Kind of need a little walking trail. But, you know, we need to bring a recreation in here. We got Cave Run Lake. We've got the golf course. We've got other stuff. Let's support them and try to bring more recreation in. Let's get with the city, work with the city in developing things. You know, we can interact in these county governments. Don't have to just be just the county itself, but interact with the city and the county on bringing recreation in.
Mr. Ford?
I'm a strong component of recreation. I've only been dealing with it for 15 years, and we've always said our infrastructure has been going down in recreation. The things that we got to do, we got to pay for stuff if we want stuff. We've got plans in place of bringing new facilities here from ages 3 years old all the way to 99. So we've got to want to continue to support and with our local government, with the city, county, university, and the school system. We all got to work together and put our heads together to get those facilities here. And, you know, I always say, and I know in a lot of times people hate the word tax, but I do know this. I know back in the day when we had a recreation facility that was ready to go, it would cost each individual that had a $30,000 salary a pizza to have us a facility here. And that's what I'm talking about, educating people about the tax.
And Mr. Hamm.
Of course, being a member of the fiscal court, I would support the judge executive on the infrastructure we have needs as far as for recreation. There again, it comes to planning. There's a lot of hands out and there's a lot of services. Again, I believe safety and infrastructure, roads are important things along with recreation. But there again, there is only so many dollars going about. We need to plan what year we were going to do it, in the first year, second year, third year. There again, it all comes down to planning, and I would like to see a long-range plan for recreation in the county.
And those are your Democratic candidates for Magistrate District 4. Please give them a round of applause. And we'll take a two-minute break, and when we return, we'll hear from the candidates for county clerk.
You're in tune to WIVY and WKCA, also Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, as we broadcast live from the Morehead Conference Center for the spring election candidate forum, as folks probably know all of the candidates that we will hear from tonight are Democrats. That's because there are no Republican contested races on the local level. The only one that is in the county is for the U.S. Representative, Congressman Hal Rogers, running for re-election against Gerardo Serrano. Tony Pence sitting to my right. As we have mentioned before, lots of folks are involved in this behind the scenes in the planning, and a lot of work already for this fall when we'll be doing this again.
Yeah, the fall conference that we have here will probably be more along the lines of a debate, not a forum. So that'll be, we're pretty excited about that. And there's a lot of work goes into, a lot of preparation, a lot of more work goes into making up these questions. And
oh, boy.
You know, to make it across the board and even and easy and not be targeting anybody. So yeah, there's a lot of work goes into it. And once again, we got to thank all the people that actually put their name in the hat and run, because, you know, they're giving up a lot of personal time.
Oh, boy.
You know, and it is a big job to represent the public. It certainly is.
And putting a big target on their back.
Yeah, buddy.
For everybody who may think they're not doing what they ought to be doing as well as they ought to be doing. That's all part of it.
It's kind of like refereeing a basketball game.
Yes, it is.
You're half wrong every time. You know, so it's no different than that. I do believe we have a great slate of candidates on both sides of the tickets coming up. You know, we've heard some from the six of them so far, and we'll be getting to hear from these three candidates now coming up. It's another interesting race.
So far tonight, we have heard from the judge executive candidates and the magistrate district four. We'll hear in just a few moments from our county court clerk candidates and also our circuit clerk candidates. Try saying that fast three times. Here's Chuck Meraz, Morehead State Public Radio News Director, with the next part of our event.
Welcome back to our 2018 candidate forum here in Rowland County, and now we'll turn to our Democratic candidates for Rowland County Clerk, and they are David Ermold, Elwood Caudill Jr., Jamie Jesse. Nation Fife is also on the ballot, but she is not here tonight. And we'll start with our opening statements, and we'll toss it first to Mr. Ermold.
Well, hi. My name is David Ermold. I am a 14-year resident of Rowan County. Within that 14 years, I graduated Morehead State University with two master's degrees. One of those degrees was in English, and the other was in communication. Since then, I have been teaching in public college at KCTCS part-time. I worked in West Virginia at Southern West Virginia Community College for 5 years, and also right now I'm working at the University of Pikeville as an assistant professor of English and communication. I feel it's essential that we elect someone to office with strong democratic values to the county clerk's office that is willing to serve all of the people of Rowan County. I also believe it's important that we are able to trust our next county clerk, as the office is responsible for overseeing our county elections, and I'm committed to working with the Board of Elections to make sure that the process is fair, accessible, and efficient for all Rowan County citizens. I will modernize the office, and I will make it more efficient by updating the website and creating an active online presence that will allow easier access to forms and other pertinent information. I will evaluate the processes in place and work to streamline and access the services already available. I believe our county clerk should have a strong presence within the community, and I will encourage the team members to promote voter registration and participation in our local elections. Respectfully, I ask you for your vote in the primary on May 22nd and also in the general election so we can move Rowan County forward. Thank you.
Mr. Caudill.
Good afternoon. My name is Elwood Caudill Jr. I'm a lifelong resident of Rowan County, lifelong Democrat. I'm 44 years old, married to Trina, of 26 years. I have two daughters. One's 23, one is 17. And I've just froze. I'm the chief deputy in the property valuation office and have been there for the past 21 years. Sorry, guys, I'm dealing with the flu-like symptoms and I'm just trying to come over this. I want to take what I've learned last time I decided to run for clerk in 2012, not 2015. So I want to take what my knowledge I have in the clerk's office along with PVA office and take it to that clerk's office, because we all work the same program, the same details with everything we have. So with that, we'll just go get started from here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Jesse, your turn.
Good evening, everyone. I want to first thank everyone who came out tonight, those of you listening at home. My name is Jamie Jesse. I'm also a lifelong resident of Round County. My wife, Stormy, and I are raising our two amazing and wild little boys, Landon and Brady, here in this wonderful community. I'm a graduate of Morgan State University with a degree in business management and finance. I spent most of my professional career working with the public in various capacities. I believe my education and professional experience qualify me for the job of Round County Clerk. It is my drive to serve my community that led me to run for this office. I believe I have the experience, integrity, and innovative ideas that will create a county clerk's office that all Round Countyans can be proud of. My 20-plus years of business has taught that the key to quality service is building relationships with those you serve. As county clerk, I've worked to ensure that we have a clerk's office that is accessible to all and meets the needs of all citizens. I want to emphasize all citizens of this county. I will make it my goal to build a positive rapport with every citizen coming into my office. It will also be my goal to build relationships with the clerk's office and our local schools so we might better educate our future voters about civic responsibility. I'm running out of time here. Myself, my deputy clerk Rick Whalen, and our families love this community. Is there a hope that...
All right, that's time.
Thank you.
Let's go to our questions now from our panel of reporters. Jacob Lindbergh from the Trailblazer will lead things off, and we'll start with Elwood Caudill Jr.
Given the national interest surrounding the Round County clerk seat, how should the county and the community respond to the possible influx of media during the election?
You know, I really think what the media did last time and what was brought to Round County, I wish I had never witnessed. I had to work in the courthouse and have all that go on. And unless you was there, you did not know what came in that building with all the demonstrators for the positive, for the negative, or whatever it was. There's many times during that process that we had to shut our doors and go measure houses and do whatever needs to be done for our office, just for our safety. So on that point, I will tell you, if I get through May, the primary, I will not bring back the media. I won't have it. There won't be any media to run from for anybody. And it should never went that way. So, and if they're all out there listening, I will do a little interview with you, but don't come back because I don't want you back.
Jamie Jesse.
Yes, as far as the media goes, obviously in November there it's going to be everywhere for this race. You know, like I said, I've lived here my entire life, and we're small, close-knit community, and you know, I wish there was a way to keep it that way. I wish there was a way, you know, that we could debate and talk and do this without all the media, because we just don't need it. It's not needed. And like Mr. Call said, it should have never happened in the first place. You know, like I said, we'll have a, if I'm elected your county clerk, we'll have a clerk's office for all citizens. So if I would have been the county clerk at that time, it would have never happened to begin with. So that's how I would handle it. You know, we'll deal with it as it comes, as far as the media is concerned. But thank you for your question. Appreciate it.
And Mr. Ermold.
I think unfortunately what happened in 2015 called a lot of attention onto our county, and I think we're going to get a little bit more attention coming with this race, obviously. We have a little bit of work to do, and I think we need to reaffirm the welcoming nature of our community. We are a beautiful people here. There's a reason why I decided to stay even after everything that had happened, and why I'm standing on this stage tonight, is because I'm willing to stand here for what I believe in, and I'm willing to stand here for this community because I believe and I have faith in you in doing the right thing. And what I suggest to you is I've been here long enough to know that you are my friends, you are my neighbors, and I support you, and I know basically that you support us as well. As far as the media, we're going to take care of that. We're going to send a positive message out there, and they are going to understand that Rowan County is one of the greatest places to live in Kentucky.
Our next question for our candidates comes to us from Leanne Akers from WMKY, and Jamie Jesse will lead things off.
In the event that you do not win in the May 22nd primary, will you support the Democratic candidate who does win?
Yes, ma'am, without a doubt. In the past few months, we've actually all become pretty close. I've known Mr. Caudill for a long time. I've got to know Mr. Armold, and we've become good friends also, and we all have similar views and stances on where we are. So yes, I will back and support if I happen to not lose, but let's hope that's not the case. But thank you.
Mr. Armold.
Yeah, I absolutely think that the Democratic Party needs to be united come the general election, and I plan on supporting this county and supporting the Democratic Party as much as I possibly can. I think that we all have different paths. We all have different ideas of what we think is right, but I think the bottom line is we will all end up coming together in the end.
And Mr. Connell.
Yes, I will support the Democrat that wins as long as it's ran on the good basis and good faith that we all stick together and not steer in different paths and cause turmoil and different things. But as far as sticking with the Democrat who wins, whether it be me or the two standing on stage with me, yes, I will back the Democrats. But unless I'm given a different reason not to. But with that being said, yeah, I'll follow it.
Our last question comes to us from Stephanie Ackerman from the Moorhead News. And we'll start things with Mr. Ermold.
Can you explain what processes you would employ in order to prevent voter fraud?
Yeah, obviously we have a board of elections. Excuse me, sorry. We have a board of elections the county clerk is part of that board. And you would have to work together with those people to decide how to take care of those things. I think we also need to try and open up a little bit of the voting process to students on campus, to the public in general, and get them more involved. I think the more people that we have involved in the voting process in this county, the more successful it's going to be. As far as voter fraud, I think we just need really the most transparent system that we possibly can, and I would be absolutely happy to work with the board and to work with the other leaders of Rowan County in order to make that the best possibility.
Mr. Connell?
Well, you're talking about voter fraud. That's a little different issue than what I'm thinking. I'll just tell you this way. I'm not so sure that there's voters fraud going on in Rowan County. Maybe if we went back 50 years ago and you want to talk to my dad, there may be some action there that you could have talked about. But nowadays, I think that it's all being done correctly to the best they can. I'm going to talk about a little bit what I think about that issue on voting. If elected county clerk and it comes election time and either anybody in this room wants to run against me as clerk, I will opt out of having anything to do with that election. That way you can't look at me and tell me I'm doing anything wrong, I'm doing anything crooked, because I don't want that. So if elected, I will step out and let somebody else take care of it, whether it be in my office or by Harp Enterprises. But my last thing I want everybody to know is I'm not running against Kim Davis, the clerk now. I'm running for that position that I have worked for over 21 years. So that's where I want to be. Thank you.
And Mr. Jesse.
Yes, of course, you know, we wouldn't want voter fraud to happen. We, you know, use every precaution, everything we can to make sure that that never happens. But the other thing I was going to add in, this has got to begin, you know, in the classrooms. County clerks got to be more involved in the school system. You know, because I'm not sure that that goes on now. I don't think it does. But if I'm elected as your county clerk, I will be in the schools and I will teach, you know, the importance of voting, you know, how to vote. But we can start at a very, very young age and you know, grow the program and do, you know, teach our kids about how important the position of county clerk is and what the county clerk does, because I just don't think that's going on. And as your county clerk, I would do that. Thank you.
Those are your Democratic candidates for Rowan County Clerk. Let's thank them for their time. We'll step aside for 2 minutes, come back, and we'll hear from our candidates for Circuit Court Clerk of Rowan County.
You're in tune to our 2018 Rowan County Candidate Forum here on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, also on WIVY and WKCA. Tony Pence with the Downtown Morehead Incorporated is sitting to my right. We talked just a minute ago before our clerk candidates were on the stage about the questions. Explain the process, how these questions were gathered, how they were sorted out, and determined which ones would be used here this evening.
Well, you know, being involved in that, well, I didn't have a, I excluded myself from that, but you could send the questions in, email them in if you were a private citizen, and we had several of those, and we had the media themselves come up with a lot of those questions. They were responsible for that. But if you're a public private citizen, you certainly could submit your question and have it submitted, and they were vetted. Obviously, you get questions that you can't ask. You know, there are personal attacks. We left all that out, and you know, it was a vetted process.
We're here at the Morehead Conference Center, and we have one more group of candidates that we are going to be involved with. Let's return to the podium and our moderator, Chuck Meraz, with Morehead State Public Radio News Director. Here's Chuck.
Welcome back to tonight's forum here at the Morehead Conference Center. As we continue things, we'll now talk with our Democratic candidates for Circuit Court Clerk of Rowan County. They are Anthony Caldwell, Melissa Powers, and Kim Barker-Tabor. And we'll start with our opening statements, and Mr. Caldwell will lead things off.
Good evening. My name is Anthony Caldwell, and I'm a candidate for the Rowan County Circuit Court Clerk. A little bit about myself. I've made Rowan County my home for nearly 25 years, along with my wife, Tracy Caskey Caldwell, and our son, Braxton Caldwell. As I've campaigned across the county, I hear the same issues and concerns from the voters. Nepotism, the hiring of family. And I have said this many times, that if I'm elected to circuit clerk, I will not employ any of my family members. Another thing I hear is that the office needs to be more user-friendly and have better customer service. We can all agree customer service plays a vital role in any business or organization. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a change in Rowan County. Albert Einstein once said, and I quote, "The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results." Same with the election. If you vote for the same people or their families, or don't go vote at all, don't expect anything new. I ask for your vote. May the 22nd, I'm number one on the ballot, number one for the job. Thank you.
Ms. Powers?
I'm Melissa Powers. I was born and raised here in Rowan County. My parents are the late Virgil and Pauline Powers. I have one sister, Lori Ferguson, who is a retired social worker. And I have one brother, William Powers, who's deceased, and he was the co-owner of Morehead Machining. I'm a graduate of Rowan County Senior High School. and a graduate of Morehead State University with a degree in legal studies and a minor in business. I've been employed for 29 years as a paralegal, and for the past 20 years, I've been employed for Truman Daner and John Ellis at the law office of Daner and Ellis. I've had the opportunity to be involved in some of the most significant closings in Round County's history, such as the industrial park, the airport, St. Clair Medical Center expansion, and the Barrel Company out on Cranston. I manage millions of dollars every year. The Circuit Clerk's Office supports and serves the judicial system. With my experience, I not only know the inner workings of the Circuit Clerk's Office, but I know and understand all facets of the legal system. You know, anytime you've been in a job for over 20 plus years, you kind of get in the mindset, this is how we do it because this is how it's always been done. Without change, you can't have growth. I can bring change and that fresh new perspective to the Circuit Clerk's Office. If I'm elected, I will run the office efficiently, professionally, and in a full-time manner. So elect me on May 22nd as your next Circuit Court Clerk.
And Kim Barker-Tabor.
Good evening. I am Kim Barker-Tabor, and I am thankful to be running for your Circuit Clerk in Round County. For 24 years, I have served in the Circuit Clerk's Office. I'm thankful to my father, who operated the office for several years. Technology and procedures have changed in those years, but the dedication that I have for that office has not. Now that the office is under my direction, I have found ways to improve efficiency that the circuit clerks throughout the state are beginning to utilize. You may be aware of some of the functions of our office. We issue driver's license and oversee jury duty, but you may not know that every document, court fine or fee in district and circuit court is our responsibility. Passing a test does not prepare you for the daily experiences in this position. Many of these situations must be handled with dignity and confidentiality. I have proven myself trustworthy and will continue to protect information when necessary and provide education when possible. I love this job, the people that I work beside of, and I will continue to serve if elected in this position. I thank you for the veterans that fought and died for our right to cast our ballots, and I am asking you to put experience where it counts on May the 22nd and vote for me, your Circuit Court Clerk.
Now we'll move to our first question for our candidates for Circuit Court Clerk. And Leanne Akers from WMKY will ask this question, and leading off will be Melissa Powers.
The Real ID Act will be implemented during 2019, and the influx of new driver's licenses will create new revenue for the clerk's office. What would you like to earmark that revenue for?
Well, the Real ID Act is a new secured computer system that's going to require every person in the state of Kentucky to get a new driver's license. In order to get that driver's license, you're going to have to present your birth certificate and your Social Security card. That's been implemented in every state, almost every state, except Kentucky is one of the last, and that will be implemented January 1st. It's going to cost more, and with that ALC will dictate where that revenue goes. So if that's going to require a new computer system, and there's probably going to be aches and pains, but the office will run efficiently, and that won't affect the ordinary business of the office.
Kim Barker-Tabor.
The Real ID Act is for, you will still get to have your standard driver's license and your standard ID. So the Real ID Act is now called your voluntary travel ID. What that travel ID is for you to be able to fly on commercial airlines or to be able to visit your military bases. That's what the voluntary ID is. So they have changed it already, and you are now to provide two proofs of residency. You can either choose two things. You can bring your birth certificate, certified birth certificate, original Social Security card, and now that they added, your passport. So this is for your travel ID only, your travel license. So it's a Kentucky license called a voluntary travel ID. Yes, it will cost more. In fact, your regular license will now be $43, and they're good for 8 years. But your travel ID is going to be $48, and it's good for 8 years. You can also get an ID, a travel ID, or a regular ID as well. So why is that odd? Why are they charging odd amounts? Well, that is because we can now ask for a $2 donation for the organ donor program. So the technology has changed. They have modernized that. And I'm out of time. Sorry.
Yes, ma'am. Anthony Caldwell.
Well, I agree with both of them, but this is a new program that's implemented, so I'm not going to sit up here and do smoke and mirrors and tell you I know everything that's going to happen. It is something I'll address when I'm elected into that office. It is a new program, so we actually don't know how it's going to run. We just have schematics and statistics as of right now, but it's something that I would check into and make it more beneficial for the customers. I'm all for it, so.
And our second question comes to us from Stephanie Ackerman from Morehead News, and Kim Barker-Tabor will start things.
What are your thoughts on hiring family members as employees?
Well, I think it was a good decision on my father's part because I stand here today, but I will not have any family members at all, blood relatives at all, in my office. I already have family in my office. I have deputies that have been here for 24 years, deputies that have been with me for 23 years, deputies that have been with me for 13 years, 16 years, 5 years. That is my family. So, yes, I am keeping my family with me, but I will not have any blood relatives working in the circuit clerk's office.
Mr. Caldwell.
Well, as I stated in my introduction, I've been against that from day one. I will not have any family members working there. I feel like we have a good staff there now. My intention is not to go in and wipe that staff out. I wouldn't ever want to do that because I have a good rapport with those people, and they're very knowledgeable. So absolutely not. I will not have any of my family members working there.
And Ms. Powers.
The Kentucky Court of Justice Policies and Procedure Manual states that all employees will be hired based on knowledge, skill, and ability, and not based on favoritism or family relationships. Any job I've ever had has been based on knowledge, skill, and ability. And to hire anyone for any other reason would be an injustice to you, the taxpayers of Round County.
And our final question comes to us from Jacob Lindberg from the Trailblazer at Morehead State. And we'll open things with Anthony Caldwell.
Is modernizing the office a concern? And if so, what kind of technology would you implement?
Well, I think in today's society, we have to keep up with all the new technology and modernization. But we're kind of limited to what we can actually do in the office because the AOC runs that office as far as the rules and regulations. Couple things that I would like to see personally done. I would love to have more literature and more information so I could educate the community on the importance of the Trust for Life program. There are several different things in there that I could actually do. I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to walk in and it's going to be what I want because I have a staff in there. I would meet with the staff. I'm an open person. Any ideal that I think is going to benefit the customers in the community of Round County, I'm all for it.
Melissa Powers.
Could you repeat the question?
Is modernizing the office a concern? And if so, what sort of technology would you like to see in the office?
Well, modernizing the office isn't a concern. Anything that's done in the office would be done by the AOC. And I don't foresee anything being a challenge. One thing I would like to see is right now, they don't no longer send you notification that your driver's license is up to be renewed or to be expired. So that's happened in the past 2 years. So, I would like to be able to develop a plan to be able to notify the public, you know, when your driver's license is due to be renewed. And for all you in the audience, I would probably check and make sure that your license haven't expired, because they haven't sent notices out in the past 2 years. So I would like to develop a plan to be able to notify the public when your license is due to be renewed. So, you know, I don't foresee any monetization of technology being a problem. I think I can handle anything seamlessly. And I'm prepared for anything that would come up.
And Kim Barker-Tabor.
Our technology is, our visionaries are in Frankfurt. So that is our visionaries. What we get is what they send us. But have you all heard the tagline? Hello, I'll talk in a minute. We've come a long way. Well, we have come a long way in 24 years. Our modernization has become from handwritten citations to now we have electronic citations, known as e-citations. We also have implemented e-warrants, e-filing, e-pay, and coming to Round County in June 2018 will be e-restitutions. So no more ledger cards. I know you all probably aren't excited, but we are so excited to get that. So modernization has come a long way, and we are so excited of what is going to come in the future. So we are very, very proud of our visionaries in Frankfurt that's trying to make our life a little bit more efficient. Thank you.
And once again, those are our Democratic candidates for Circuit Court Clerk of Rowland County. Please give them a round of applause. Thank you. And that is tonight's 2018 candidate forum here in Rowland County. That wraps things up. I'm Chuck Moraz. I've been your moderator. Once again, our reporters tonight on the panel have been WMKY's Leanne Akers, along with Stephanie Ackerman of the Moorhead News, and Jacob Lindberg of MSU's Trailblazer. Thanks so much for being with us tonight, and we look forward to seeing you here in November, or rather this fall sometime, when we hold another one of these forums before the general election.